Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Night Court. I'm Rob Fisher, along with Brevin Knight. It's basketball season. Happy basketball season to all of our listeners, and we thank you for listening. And we've been away since July. The last time we were here, you joined Threads. So that was
a minute ago. But we also know during the off season, I am also off, and I try to decompress from the long season as best possible so that I am ready to go for a new season. Sound good, huh?
Yeah, that was pretty good. Hold on, I want to check something. Uh-oh. Hello, Brevin is on the Threads. I just wanted to see which side actually works better. This side works better, right? Okay. I wanted to make sure, we haven't done it in so long, I wanted to make sure the mic was in the right spot.
Yeah, the volume went up higher on this side.
Yeah, okay, good. So we're on the right spot. So I'll edit that out. No one will know that happened. It's preseason, man. It sneaks up. I was talking to Brad Jones, Grizzlies assistant coach, last night. We're recording this on Monday. Grizzlies had their preseason opener Sunday night. And I talked to Brad, and he asked if I was ready. And I said, no, because it sneaks up on you. Media day happens Monday. And that's kind of the, okay, here we go. We're getting started. Now you got to kind of start the ramp-up period, to steal from Coach Jenkins, and start that ramp-up period. But hell, 5 days later, you're playing a game.
Exactly. So, and for some of those international, for the teams that play international games, for us, after the media day that starts, it seems like even faster.
Yeah.
But they've had more days. They start a little earlier. But no, it doesn't. It definitely jumps up on you. But I was ready for it to jump up on me.
Yeah.
And it was really good to be back in the arena again, see some familiar faces, and then watch it, an entertaining game.
Yeah, it was cool. Come on, man, overtime, seriously. How many people did you make mad last night when you were cheering for overtime at the end of the game?
You know, I like to keep it interesting. You know, it's a preseason game against the Indiana Pacers, who we only see twice a year. A lot of people don't even know who the star player for the Indiana Pacers is. And so I just wanted to keep people engaged in some way. But
well, that's stupid.
I got a lot of people in the arena that weren't happy, though, especially a lot of people in the truck.
Yeah, it was terrible. Overtime in preseason, we need this rule to be changed. If you go to overtime in the preseason, first basket wins. Sudden death. We play sudden death overtime, first basket wins, and then we go home. I mean, the guys who are playing on the floor in overtime, if the coaches want to see, you know, how they look in overtime situations, those players aren't going to be in overtime situations. And if they are, your team's in a lot of trouble. You'll deal with it then. Let's go home, right?
We said we're going to institute a new rule. We're going with the summer league rule for overtime in the preseason.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Since we've last spoken, you're just cleaning some things up here. Stanford, your Stanford Cardinal, they're now in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Which makes no sense. Makes no sense.
But the question is, now when ACC players check into basketball games, are you going to say, ACC, Pete?
I will not. I will say, former Pac-12, Petey. But I will not be hollering ACC at all. It is, I understand it's the landscape of college sports today, but I just can't get with it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's going to be weird.
It's very weird.
College sports is weird now.
Well, I mean, for me, I was watching
a game last week, Revan. It was BYU against Cincinnati. And 25 minutes into the game, I guess because I saw the logo finally on the field, I was like, this is a Big 12 game? Seriously? BYU and Cincinnati? What the hell's happening?
Well, I just think about the travel for those kids that have to come from Stanford and Cal.
Oh,
and what that will look like, the amount of schoolwork and how they will have to get that done, it's going to be amazing for those student athletes to be able to keep it all together in those times. And it's also going to be for their schedule makers. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to be creative somehow with the schedule, so you don't have them crisscrossing the country so many times.
No kidding. It's going to be crazy. All right, some basketball cleanup. Damian Lillard finally got traded, and we didn't see that one coming. He goes to the Milwaukee Bucks. Interesting. The Bucks in Boston have kind of position themselves to be the two that we're going to be watching in the Eastern Conference, right?
Yeah, I thought both of them did a good job in retooling after losing major pieces. You know, with Milwaukee losing Drew Holiday, and for Boston losing Marcus Smart, to be able to pick up Drew Holiday in Boston,
yeah,
and then be able to get Damian Lillard to go along with that with their crew in Milwaukee. I thought that both teams made themselves better. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. The NBA championship odds, the Bucks are now the favorite. They are plus 360, meaning you put a dollar down, you win 360. The Celtics, they are plus 500. The Suns, plus 550. The Nuggets, plus 650. The Lakers, plus 1,200. The Warriors, plus 1,700. Cavs, plus 1,800. And then the Grizzlies at plus 2,000. So overall, the Grizzlies are eighth, and they are fifth in the Western Conference. Take that today? Finish fifth in the West?
You take that today.
I don't.
Let me finish talking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You take that today because you're in the playoffs. You're not in the play-in.
Yeah.
But you would think that this team can continue to be a top three team in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
And that's where I envision them being this year. Even with all that has happened with the other teams in the Western Conference, I still believe they added the necessary pieces to sustain and continue to elevate their play. And they're going to do it, and I still see them being good through the first 25, and then they get their best player back for the last 20 for the rest of the season. After that, he'll be chomping at the bit to play, and so I see it as being another positive season. The biggest question mark for this team will continue to be what happens in the postseason. Number one, can they stay healthy enough to be the team that you see during a regular season? And if they do that, then I see them having just as good a shot as anyone out of the Western Conference.
Remind me later, when we talk about the Grizzlies, I got a question about that.
Okay.
All right, NBA has a new participation policy. I don't know all the details, but I know it's kind of silly.
I mean,
they're trying to make sure there's no load management, but you can come up with injuries. Guys are always injured. You could come up with something.
Right, and the no two stars can be out at the same time.
Yeah.
Unless
different circumstances.
Right. And that they're both injured.
Yeah.
And in that case, then they are. But I think it's you can as many rules as they come up with, teams will find ways around the rules.
Right.
Until it becomes a entire mental change in terms of guys playing more and playing longer and just doing the rehab or doing all the recovery things you have to do after playing the game but still playing the next game. Until you kind of go backwards to that mindset, then we'll keep having this little cat and mouse game.
My theory believes that world-class basketball athletes are fit for 82 games in a season. That's my theory, and science can't disprove it.
You've been there and done that.
Yeah. James Harden called his GM, Daryl Morey, a liar, and I'll never be a part of an organization that he's a part of. Let me say that again. Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization he's a part of. Well, he's there. He showed up at training camp. He skipped out on media day, which is great. He's there now, and James Harden's still with Philadelphia at this point.
I mean, it becomes one of the biggest soap operas of the season.
Isn't that great?
Early on. I mean,
love it.
For that to come out the way it came out on a promo tour overseas, and then continued as we – he's in a club. He had a party one night. They got it on the marquee board. Daryl Morey's a liar, and then he's at camp. I don't even know how, like, what that mood and if there's tension. But listen, basketball is basketball. He's being paid still. He signed in. He opted in on the his contract, and so he has the 1 year left on the deal that he has to play, and so he's there to play, but it has to be under some adverse conditions.
Speaking of paid, would you give Anthony Davis 3 years, $186 million, $62 million a year? $62 million a year.
Here's the thing, here's what I always say. Sometimes it's not do you think the person is worth it, it is what the market is at that time. And I think at this point, it becomes a, this is what the market is at that time signing. So if in today's game, yes. Do I think, I'm going to say that return on that investment means I'm going to win a championship without LeBron James being next to him? No, I don't think it means that. It means that you have one of the most skilled players in the game. And how that translates into wins,
I think they clearly can't win a championship without him.
Clearly can't win without him.
But scary will I have him.
The thing is, they got to have him if they want to have a chance to win.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, but the number, you would like to be able to, the number is what the number and what the market bears at that time.
Yeah. Powell went into the Hall of Fame. First teammate that went into the Hall of Fame of yours? Is that true?
Yes, the first. Wait, Sean Kemp in the Hall of Fame? Do they have a?
I don't know.
If he's not, then yes, Powell would be the first one. My first teammate.
Sean Kemp, six-time no, it doesn't say Hall of Famer. No.
My first.
So Powell is your first.
He's my first. My first teammate.
That's pretty cool.
It's very cool, and it's cool because I got to see him from the beginning, and then see what his career ended up being like, and it ended up being a lot of what I thought it was, what it could be.
Yeah.
Which was a Hall of Fame career, because he had a skill set that was just different. And at that time, it was just a matter of appreciating what that skill set was and would this organization, meaning the Grizzlies, play to that, or would you play to what we thought how basketball should be played? And I think over time, they really accepted the player that he was, and because of it, there was success here.
Yeah. This is a fun little test. CBS Sports, they did a story of every team in the NBA, who their next Hall of Famer will be. Pacers, Rick Carlisle.
I love Rick Carlisle.
Let me tell you something. I got a story for you. So last night, Grizzlies are playing the Pacers. And right after Taylor Jenkins' media availability, the Pacers PR guy comes up to me and Lang Whitaker from Grind City Media. And he says, hey, guys, do you mind sitting in on Coach Carlisle's press conference? I don't know if we're going to have anybody in there. And we're like, yeah, we'll go sit in there. And I was like, I got nothing to ask him now. I don't care. And Carlisle comes in and it ends up, it's just Lang and I. And he looks at us and goes, what you got? And we're like, nothing really. How are you doing? And he's like, fine. And I was like, all right, I'll ask something. And I said, and I just wanted to give him a little background just for the stupid question I was about to ask. And I said, well, Coach, I do TV for the Grizzlies. And he goes, well, good for you. How about that asshole move?
I love it. I love him. I tell you, he's the best.
And I just looked at him and I said, oh, just for a little background, because I asked this question. What's interesting about your team? And he gave an amazing answer. It was really cool. And then Lang asked him a question about preseason games, and he gave a great answer there. And then he's sitting out on the floor, and I walked by, and he said, you do TV sidelines for the Grizzlies. And I said, yeah. And he said, what's your name again? I said, Rob Fisher. He said, didn't recognize you with the beard. That's new. And I was like, yeah. That's right, Rick.
All of those Dallas battles.
That's right, Rick. Rick Carlisle, among the top three in no particular order, Greg Popovich, I don't even know who would be third, the best get ejected coaches in the NBA. When they get tossed, they know they're getting tossed.
And they go all in.
They walk out on the floor, say what they want to say, and then get themselves in the locker room.
Well, and he's the best timeout caller.
Oh, he's a great timeout caller.
The greatest timeout caller. And Taylor is close to being like him in that he just walks out there and expects, like, for everyone to know that it's timeout.
And then when the ref looks at him like, oh, we didn't know it was a timeout, and Taylor looks up and goes, I was calling timeout! Starts screaming at the ref. It's like, dude, you just walked out on the floor.
He is Rick Carlisle Jr. right now with that. But Rick Carlisle is the best.
And the Memphis Grizzly, current Memphis Grizzly, who will be the next Hall of Famer?
The current Grizzly that would be the next
Hall of Famer. Yeah. It's a long pause.
I mean, I want to say that it would be Ja Morant, because in order for them, like we say with those other teams, like, they don't win without him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they could win a championship without him.
Right.
And I think that it is because he just has a little bit something that's different about what he can do that gives him that decided advantage. But I think Jaren's going to have a great. Well, why the hesitation? Because I think between Jaren and Dez, they're going to be fantastic careers.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was a need for that injection of what Ja does to then put it over the top. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I would say that it probably puts him in a better driver's seat of being the next one.
Yeah, I'm with you. For the Grizzlies to be great, which everyone hopes that they're on that trajectory, he has to be a future Hall of Famer.
Right.
A superstar.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that's saying too much. But it's not any of those. Derrick Rose.
Oh, you
you gave me a look like I fooled you.
You did. You played a game on me. You played a game. You played a little game on me there. I forget that I have to think of our new guys as being, you just think of tenure all of a sudden. Like, he's like such a new, but yeah, no, I definitely could see that.
I never knew, as we shift to the Grizzlies, I never knew what Derrick Rose coming back to Memphis would mean. It was weird throughout his career. He has hardly played in Memphis. I mean, maybe two times in his career. Because of injury or illness or what have you, COVID, I think, one year. So it was just kind of weird that he never came back, and I didn't know it would happen. And the timing is right, and the love affair the city has for him, just based on a six-month period that he was a Memphis Tiger. And it seems like he's feeling it from the city for the first time. Because when he was a Tiger, it was such a whirlwind for him that it's pretty neat. It looks like a very special relationship between player and city.
I could tell you that I never thought it would happen.
Yeah.
I don't think even when we started to talk about, like, who would be a good backup point guard when we knew we lost Tyus, and who it never would be Derrick Rose. Like, you just didn't think that this would be a place that he would want to come back to, because we hadn't seen them that much.
Right.
And that's just from outside perception. Not anything that we heard or you knew he didn't like, nothing, just because we hadn't seen him.
Yeah.
But to be able to get him and get him at this point of his career, in this point of his life, I think is just the perfect time, the perfect situation for this team on and off the floor. Because, as he said, and you talked about it at the game against the Pacers, where he said he didn't come here to be a babysitter. He didn't come here to steal minutes from anyone. He's not a plant in the locker room.
My favorite part.
Exactly. just to let people know, like, this, he came here to try to help this team be better, because he still can play basketball and help them be better.
I loved when he talked on Media Day about, you know, he said he always looked at guys not playing back-to-backs as, you know, the time it takes to prepare for a game, guys that couldn't play back-to-back, he never really understood it. He said, but now, 16 years in the league, it takes me a whole day to prepare my body for a game.
Right.
And he's like, so it makes it very difficult to play back-to-backs. I mean, he is a guy that I think we've learned in such a short period, he is a guy who knows where his career is and knows what his role is and wants to excel at his role.
Well, remember, the other thing he said was good about coming here is, like, he wanted a chance to win.
Yeah.
I mean, a selling point. I tell people a lot of times, you want to sell your organization or sell, win. Be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care where it is, where geographically it is, how big, how small. All those, none of those things matter. If you can go out and win and show a level of success, people will be intrigued with being a part of that. And that's why he wanted to be here in Memphis. Is why I think even with Marcus Smart coming over, it was, yes, leaving where you've been your entire career, where you've grown up, what you've known, it's never going to be easy. But if you are going to be moved, you want to at least be moved to a situation that is another positive situation. And so everything that he talks about with being here is in a positive way, because it's another winning place. It's another place that he has a chance to have a level of success. And so it's just a credit to what this organization has been able to do in terms of the wins and losses, but it's also nice to see us be able to attract those guys and them really like being here.
It's only one preseason game, but I will say this about the huddle on the first night during the timeouts. Marcus Smart is talking to the team almost every timeout.
I expect it.
Desmond Bane is talking to the team a lot. Steven Adams was talking to the team a lot. It was a lot different than what I've seen in the past. It's almost to the point where I was like, is this being forced? Are they looking like, is coach watching us and we need to talk up? You
right.
know, because it almost felt like, wow, this is almost overboard. How many guys are, you know, leading? And so that was really cool to see. You know, and coach made it a point last year when the Grizzlies were eliminated by the Lakers, he pointed to Ja, Jaren, and Dez as the three leaders, called them the three leaders of this team. What does that do for a player? Because I felt like in one game, I felt like I saw more of that from Dez. Not that he didn't do it at all last year, but last night it was more stand up and kind of be a little louder even. It was impressive.
Well, I can tell you that part of Desmond Bane is when you sign a certain contract, it allows you the ability to say more things than what you
sure.
said in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the reality
sure.
of the game. But you also have to be a person that is deserving of people to listen to you. You may have the contract, but if what you're saying is BS, then we ain't gonna listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you are saying things that are in a positive way, things, and then we're also seeing you execute what you say, then it makes the leadership side be a lot easier. So I think for Desmond Bane, this is just him being him, but also him feeling a little bit more empowered to do more. And so in that doing more, I think it'll be a positive on his team. It'll be a positive for him. And especially in these moments where they're going to need guys to be able to step up. They're going to need guys to be accountable because Ja Morant won't be there in the beginning.
Right.
And so you needed there to be other voices and guys to feel comfortable with being able to talk. And so I think that'll be good. I think that the extra year for what happened with Dez, what happened with Jaren being on the USA team, and then for him to have that experience that he had. And so I think that'll help this team be better this year. The voices are a lot is because the last 2 years, they realized that they have not reached their full potential. And they also realized that there's this window to reach it is not open for so long.
Right.
And so the sense of urgency, I believe, is back again for this team in terms of there are certain things that you have to do if you want a certain outcome. And so I think they're starting right from the beginning of the year of this is what we're going, this is the level, this is what's going to be acceptable, this is what's not going to be acceptable. And there's no better way to do that than to set that groundwork right from the outset.
Yeah. What else impressed you from the preseason opener? It seemed like, you know, starters played starter minutes for the first half, really, and then we didn't see some of them the rest of the game. But Dez and Luke didn't shoot particularly well, but okay, that's fine. The thing that impressed me about Dez, you know, last year, every time when he stops on a dime, man, when he is in a full sprint and just has that pullback, last year, every time he did it, I cringed.
Right.
Because you knew he was in pain. Last night, I found myself cringed, but I saw just how well he moved and did it. Mm. That it, you know, obviously he feels like there's no pain at this point. That's great.
There's a lot more fluid.
It did. It looked that way because he, it didn't look, after my first time seeing it, I didn't cringe the rest of the night. I felt confident that he feels good. And, I mean, Brevin, he was healthy for 6 games last year.
Right.
6.
Right.
And battled and fought. And he's going to be great for this team. But those guys, I wanted to watch Jaren's rebounding. I wanted to watch when he played at the 5.
Yeah.
How well he can still be a rim protector but get back. Know when to shot block and when to get back so that you can be a force on the boards. But also, how did everyone else react when he goes to block a shot? Because if he's going to block shots, we can't expect him to block shots and rebound. Right. Can't do both at the same time if the ball happens to get over his outstretched arm. The other thing is, for all 5 games, is what Zaire, what Roddy, what LaRavia look like. Because to me, between the 3 of them, if they can get one person's output in terms of that 3 position of giving them size at that 3 position, I think will do wonders for whatever the team may need that night. Do they need more shooting, long and lanky, so Zaire plays? Do they need a little more physicality? That means Roddy plays. If LaRavia has caught up to speed and feeling like he's confident enough to be out there, now you need a shooter that has that confidence that we want you to shoot, don't worry, then you can play him. So between the 3 of them, I would like to see how, if one of them can distinguish themselves from the other 2, but what that position could look like in terms of giving them a little more size on the floor at that 3 spot.
One of the highlights of the night was Kenneth Lofton Jr.
A bucket.
He's fun to watch. I hope he I'll ask you, is he an NBA player?
In the right situation.
Because
I think it's like a lot of young guys, he's just got to get to the right place where he can play enough minutes to impact the game. You know, that's not to say that it's not here in Memphis. You don't know how things start to shake out as the season. But that's, I think, for the talent that he has, it's just the minutes to be able to. Now, is he going to be is he going to be the greatest defender? May not be the greatest, but all you want to see is the effort. And I think what we've seen from day 1 to where we are today is a better effort, at least on the defensive side.
He's got a knack for the ball.
And on that offensive end, you just can't teach scoring. Like, there's just something about people that can score. And I said it, and everybody sees it, of course. But his similarities to Z-Bo and the way that he plays the game, that fadeaway on the baseline that he hit in the overtime yesterday, the tip-in when there's 3 Indiana Pacers, all pogo stick guys around the basket, he still gets the tip-in for the offensive rebound. There's nothing that he can't do on the offensive end. And I say for guys like that, it just needs the right situation, mm-hmm. the timing. Everything has to just marriage correctly for you to be able to see what they can do on a bigger stage.
Yeah. We were talking earlier about the health of the team being so important. The last 2 years, the Grizzlies starting 5 played 21 games total.
Right.
11 one season, 10 the next season. 21 games. Now, the Grizzlies will start this season 25 games without their starting five. 57 games left in the season after that. What's a number that I can ask for? Is 30 too much to ask? Have my starting five play 30 games of the 57?
I think a lot of that will say how these guys fare through these first 25 games. If you can get through these first 25 with nothing catastrophic, then I think you start to say, can you play 20 to 25 games together after John Morant comes back? And can the majority of those, that's regular season games.
Right.
Can you play 20 to 25 regular season games? Because inevitably, you're going to have a game where somebody may have a minor injury. There's going to be a game where rest comes into play because he plays so many games. So those factors, you just don't want it to be guys are not playing together because you have multiple injuries.
Right.
And it's extended a period of time.
Okay, so I'll even say 50%. 28. Yes, sir, give me 28. 28 games. I
told you 25 was good for me.
That's perfect.
I think that gives them
and
enough.
And hopefully a lot of those, like, five of the last seven games of the season.
Because I'm going to say that. They needed at least going into the playoffs more than anything, because the entire year, the other thing to watch is their half-court offense.
Yeah.
Like, how well does that give them opportunities that good looks? Will they make every shot? No. But does it yield good looks for them on a regular basis?
You know, a wise man once told me that, you know, the only way to win an NBA championship is to get lucky and stay healthy throughout the entire season. He also said only people who lose say that. But the point is, it's correct. Yes, it's only the people who lose who say that, because, you know, you can use it as an excuse, but it's not an excuse. The fact is, teams that win championships usually, for the most part, are the healthiest. And that takes a lot of luck. Because unlucky injuries happen all the time. The Steven Adams injury, I mean, how unlucky was that?
And it doesn't diminish that you won the championship.
Right.
By saying that.
It's part of winning a championship is staying healthy.
Yes.
And it's such an important part that I don't even think we give it enough credit, but it's such a huge part. It's why when we say at the beginning of the season, well, barring injury, this team should do this, because you just never know what's going to happen. And this Grizzlies team, they stay healthy, and that's a big part of it with Jaren, with Ja, with Dez, with Steven. I mean, all of them have had a little history here in the last couple of years. If you stay healthy, put this team up against anybody in the West
and feel just fine about it.
Absolutely.
And with the additions that they have, and with the bench guy, with the guys that they've had that have played now a couple of seasons, with that mixture, I don't think that this team has to take a step back against anyone in the association. But again, it goes to that same thing of, if you can have that lineup that at least starts the game, and then you have those key guys that can come in the game. If you're trying to do it without one star, it's hard to do.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, it's different now. It didn't used to have to be this way about the health, because teams could have been deeper. You had more teams deep. But now teams are so top-heavy because of how contracts are worked out.
Right.
That once you get good, I mean, you're good because you have really good players who are making a lot of money. You know, your depth can be diminished a little bit, and you take somebody down, and now it hurts your depth more than anything else. So, interesting stuff there.
Was that your last Grizzlies question that you?
That was the one. Yeah, okay. That was the one that I remembered. I wanted to get in my old wise tale.
That was good. I'm glad you got that in.
I have a list for you, Brev, that you can help me. All and this
hurry
is
hurry up before because the people are gonna say
this
it's
is
been
the last
too long.
One. All right, on the road this year. Okay, I got to catch up on some TV.
Oh yes,
Jack Ryan,
fantastic. I watched.
Oh,
that
I love Jack Ryan. I haven't seen the last two seasons.
Oh, be better. Watch. I watched both of them already.
Ted Lasso.
Oh, we finished Ted Lasso.
You're done. I still have a season
to
watch.
The last season was just it just didn't hit you the same way.
Really? Hmm. Ozark season 4.
Fantastic. Awesome. Love Ozark.
Can't wait. Stranger Things.
Stranger Things, fantastic. Jeez, I have no life.
See, I lost a little interest after season like 3 or 4, but it's still good. Still good to watch.
It was the final season.
I haven't watched the last two.
It's over though. It was. I mean, listen, if you like Stranger Things, then yeah, it was good.
Do you like Flight Attendant?
I haven't watched it.
It's pretty good. I'm a big Kaley Cuoco fan.
Who?
Kaley Cuoco.
Yeah.
Billions. Do you watch Billions?
I haven't, but I think I'm gonna watch it this year.
It's really good. Really good.
I haven't watched any of it.
Okay. And then The Righteous Gemstones.
Righteous Gemstones. I think my wife watched that.
Yeah. Okay. I heard that's great. Let's see. Truth Be Told. It's on Apple.
Right. I didn't watch that.
Yeah, I got a lot of shows.
On. Yeah. I'm watching the Wu Assassins.
Okay. Of those, which one should I start with, you think?
Let me see. You can watch either Fire, Water, you can watch whichever one you want to watch. I don't know if I watched them in succession. A new one came out, mm-hmm. and it was a 2023 one on Netflix, so it was 2 seasons, so I'm watching the second season of one of those Wu Assassins right now.
Oh, all right. Awesome, man. All right. Well, you got anything else?
I got nothing, man. Nothing. Love everybody. That's all I have. Love life.
Yeah. And thank you. Thank you to our loyal listeners. We appreciate you. And we're going to be back now. It's basketball season. We're here. We're going to be doing this. It's going to be fun. We're excited. We might not do one next week.
Yeah, probably not next week.
But we'll do one before the season starts.
Yes.
And then we'll do one weekly throughout the NBA season. So you got that to look forward to. And to our new listeners who may have tuned in for the first time, thank you very much for tuning in. Appreciate it. And make sure you, as my son would say, hit that subscribe button and smash that notification bell.
All right. That's my boy Colton, man. As only Colton can say.
Yeah, you can follow him on the YouTube. Transformers Battle with Colton. Transformers Battle with Colton. Yeah, a little YouTube channel for kids. It's kids watching kids play with toys, which I don't understand, but that's what kids do, Brev.
Little kids today sit
on their iPad and they watch other kids play with toys.
Well, and then when they get older, they just watch other kids play video games.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I mean, literally, my son, he'll sit there and watch somebody else play a video game. I'm like, bro, and
I don't like someone sitting next to me playing. I'm like, give me the joystick.
New day.
Joystick. Is that what they're called?
Controllers.
Controllers.
I think they're called controllers. Man, I could talk all day. You made me think of something else, man. This doggone little Instagram. You know, I started looking at Instagram more since I've been outed on Instagram. So.
Yeah.
There was a video where it's showing how football players used to get ready for football games. It was like chanting, like in the locker room, just rah.
Right.
To where now it's like video, like music and dudes dancing before they come out and stuff. It was funny. They had like a Soul Train line to come out for the football game. As opposed to just like banging helmets together. it was the best. Okay? Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm old. Bro. I think I'm old. That's I just sit and watch these stupid things.
All right. Well, everyone, and thanks for listening. And enjoy this time of year. It's amazing with basketball starting. Hockey gets started tomorrow on Tuesday the 10th. And then we got baseball playoffs going on, football going on. So a lot of stuff going on right now, and we're just tipping off basketball. That's going to do it for this edition of Night Court. Thank you for tuning in, and we will talk to you here real soon. We'll talk to you before the season starts. For BK, I'm Fish. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon.
Peace.